Well, sometimes I'm going to do something a little different today. Maybe you won't notice a whole lot of difference, but I was just thinking, sometimes I feel like I should apologize for doing so much reading of Scripture, but then I know that that's wrong. But I do fear sometimes that we as a people, and I read an article earlier this week or last week sometime, kind of along this line, but I fear that sometimes we, even as the people of God, are bored with the Scripture. Now, if you think about it, I think at times that's probably true of all of us. We would probably rather hear a good story or a good sermon illustration sometimes than the Word. And I would venture to say that there are probably times when we, if we hear a sermon, we would walk away thinking we may not ever say it, but missing a good story that was not there than we would to miss if the Scriptures weren't there. Because we like to be entertained. We like to be... Well, in one sense, have our ears tickled, I think. We like to feel good. We like to hear a good story. And all those things, sermon illustrations, of course, and stories to illustrate a point, all have their place. But I'm just talking about our hearts. Sometimes I think we are bored with the Word. In reality, the reading of the Scripture probably should get us more excited than hearing what me or John have to say. And so today I'm going to read quite a bit, kind of as introduction to our passage for today. But I'm going to have you turn, if you would like to 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22. And I'm going to read the entire chapter. But I want to ask you a question. When you think of King David, what do you think of? What do you think when you think of David? What's that? God's anointed. What else? What's that? Killing and lying. Okay. A man after God's own heart. What else? Warrior. A man of war. He was. A sinner. Yeah. So we think of quite a few things when we think of David. But another thing I think we should think of when we think of David is that he was a worshiper of God. He was a worshiper of God, and we see that in the Psalms. He is the author of many, many of the Psalms. And just you can see that heart after God. And in 2 Samuel 22, we have a song that was written by David in response to being delivered from his enemies. And I just want us to read it. It's 51 verses, but it goes pretty quickly. But I want you to get into it. I want you to think about what's being said. I want you to see the worship there. I want you to see what's going on. And I begin in verse 1. And David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hands of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I called. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears. Then the earth reeled and rocked, and the foundation of the heavens trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and a devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He was seen on the wings of the wind. He made darkness around him his canopy, thick clouds a gathering of water. Out of the brightness before him, coals of fire flamed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, and lightning and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, the foundations of the world were laid bare, at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the days of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into the broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and from his statutes I did not turn aside. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. And the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you deal purely. And with the crooked, you make yourself seem torturous. You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and my God, listen, lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap over a wall. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me the shield of your salvation and your gentleness made me great. You gave a wide place for my steps under me and my feet did not slip. I pursued my enemies and destroyed them and did not turn back until they were consumed. I consumed them. I thrust them through so that they did not rise. They fell under my feet. For you equipped me with the strength for battle, and you made those who rise against me sink under me. You made my enemies turn their backs to me, those who hated me, and I destroyed them. They looked, but there was none to save. They cried to the Lord, but he did not answer them. I beat them fine as the dust of the earth. I crushed them and stamped them down like the mire of the streets. You delivered me from strife with my people. You kept me as the head of the nations. People whom I did not know served me. Foreigners came ringing to me. Foreigners came cringing to me as soon as they heard of me. They obeyed me. Foreigners lost heart and came trembling out of their fortresses. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God, the rock of my salvation. The God who gave me vengeance and brought down peoples under me, who brought me out from my enemies. You exalted me above those who rose against me. You delivered me from men of violence. For this I praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing praises to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. David was a worshiper of God. And as you know, we're spending these few weeks in the book of Psalms before we move on, and before we move on to the book of Ruth. So I would have you turn to the Psalms now, to Psalm chapter 6. Psalm 6. He says, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love, for in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? I am weary with my moanings. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all of my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. Now, as I was reading, you know, and thinking about the Psalms and thinking about not just this psalm, but all of the psalms, some questions came to my mind. John and I were talking about the psalms a little bit before the service today. But how are we to approach the psalms? How are we to approach them? What was the intended purpose? How are we to view them? Are we to view them strictly in the historical context? Some of the psalms, we don't know the historical context, exactly what was going on at the time. Perhaps even Psalm 6, we don't know exactly what was going on at the time. But there are some psalms that we do know what was going on at the time. It seems to be very clear. And so are we to view them in their strictly in the historical context, or are we going to do more than that? For example, Psalm 51. I want to read it, and then I want you to tell me the historical context of it. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You would not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God. You will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. So what do you know, and you probably have it in a texting head in your Bible, what is the context of Psalm 51? Who is speaking, first of all? David. So what is the context? What is going on? Why is he writing that psalm? In response to what? Okay. Go ahead. Finish.
I think it's in response to Samuel taking him to task about sin.
Right. His sin with Bathsheba. Yes. Right. Right. And I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. So the question again is this. In a psalm like this, how are we to view the psalm? Are we to view it strictly in light of David and Bathsheba? Or are we to do more with it? And I think there's more. Obviously, I think there's more that we're to do with it, to do with them. And it seems that John has spoken of it at least. I know that the psalms were written to be played with music, to be sung with long with musical instruments. They were to be used in worship. And I assume that they were to be used over and over again in worship, if that makes sense. most of the songs, like we sang up here today, most of these songs, I believe all of the songs today, we have sung before. And we sing them over and over again. We know them and we worship the Lord in singing these songs. And so, but when we sing these songs, when we sing songs, you know, we're to encourage one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. When we sing the songs that we're singing and we are worshiping, what are we doing? What are we calling attention to? What are some of the things? Who? What? Forgiveness? Holiness. God's holiness. Praising the Lord. Okay. I think it can be said, I mean, and we could make a whole list. We're making, you know, we are calling attention to who He is, who God is, who Christ is. We're calling attention to what He's like. We're calling attention to His attributes, the attributes of God. His holiness, His faithfulness, His righteousness, His justice. We're calling attention to what He's done in the past and believing that He will do the same thing in the future. You know, as we sing, we're emphasizing our response to who He is and what He's done. And we're calling attention to our relationship with Him and what it's like. Now, when I read the Psalms, I generally read them devotionally, if that makes sense to you. I don't necessarily have to know the historical context of each Psalm for them to be useful to me in worship and in devotion. But they can also be read historically, like we just saw in Psalm 51. And they can also be read theologically, because there's some deep theological truths that we see in the book of Psalms. So they can be approached in many ways, devotionally, historically, theologically. And some of the things that we see theologically in the Psalms, we see the fact that He is Creator. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. In the Psalms, we see His holiness. Psalm 29:1-2, ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Psalm 99:3, the Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherub. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise Your great and awesome name. He is holy. We see the holiness of God, the faithfulness of God. Psalm 33, for the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness. His love, 36:7, how precious is Your steadfast love, O God. The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of Your wings. And He's omniscient, Psalm 39:1-4, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up, You discern my thoughts from afar. And He goes on. So as we read in the book of Psalms, I just want to encourage you. You can look at them devotionally. You can look at them historically, and you can look at them theologically. There's much to learn about who God is and about our relationship with Him in the book of Psalms. So I want us to turn now and look at the book, or the chapter 6 of the book of Psalms, the 6th Psalm. Now we've read it already. We've read the Psalm. Chapter 6. How would you describe this psalm when you look at it? How would you describe it? What's going on? Praise and thanksgiving. Okay, what else? Petitioning God. Okay. Grief and sickness. Asking for deliverance. One other main one, I think, we would have to say, before I share another, forgiveness, or I put repentance. Repentance. A psalm of repentance and asking the Lord to deliver him and to forgive. And so we see this is known as a psalm of, or known as a penitential psalm, a psalm of repentance. At least in the beginning, you can see that. Because he says, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. And he's dealing with his own sin. But when I read the psalm, there's something else I see, and it may not come to you right away, and you may not agree with me, but that's okay. I see it as a psalm of hope. Okay? It is a psalm of repentance and prayer, but it's also a psalm of hope. And I'll try to explain that. And I kind of that came to my mind as I was thinking about the psalms and why they were used. Yes, this was a psalm of repentance for a particular time in history, probably, but it was also set to music that it could be used over and over again in worship, just like we sing the songs that we sing today. Do you agree with that? In the book of Psalms. So, when we are singing a song like we sing up here, I think it expresses hope. Okay, and I'm going to explain that in a minute. But now I want you to give me a definition. I want you to give me a definition of hope. If I hadn't thought about this a while, that's kind of hard to do. What is hope? And if I hadn't looked it up, I mean, just get that straight. What's that? Okay. 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 What else?
A reason to keep going.
A reason to keep going. Okay. Yes. That is key right there. You know, and we have, there's so many definitions that we could put on it, but here's a definition I want to give you. Hope is the confident expectation, the sure certainty that God has promised, that what God has promised in His Word is true, has occurred, or will occur in accordance with His Word. Okay, now let me read that again. Hope is the confidence, as Cherise said, is the confident expectation, the sure certainty that what God has promised in the Word is true, has occurred, and or will occur in accordance with His Word. Now that may seem a little complicated, but it's the hope is a hope in Him. A hope, a confidence that will, it is being confident that He will accomplish what He has said He would do. Now, I'm just saying hope is not that easy to define. Now, we can see a person as a hope, like, you know, Christ is our hope, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about hope. And so, when I see this psalm, I see the psalmist and those who were singing it having a confidence that God would do what He has done in the past. When He is asking for them not to rebuke in His anger nor discipline in His wrath, they have the confident hope that it will be accomplished. And see, so it's a hopeful song. When we pray for forgiveness, we're expecting that God is going to forgive us, because He has promised that He would do so. And so that's why I could say that it is a psalm of hope. Because it is coming, I believe, with an expectation of deliverance. That God is going to do what He's done in the past, and He's going to do it again in accordance with His Word, in accordance with His promises. So let's just walk through Psalm 6. It's just a short psalm, won't take us long. and then just make some application. Verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. We see hope and repentance. It is an understanding. You can see from those very words that there is an understanding of man's condition and an understanding of God's grace and mercy in that verse. When he says, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, he is understanding the fact that he is a sinner and that he is worthy of God's condemnation. But he also knows that when he goes to the Lord because of his steadfast love to his people, because of his grace and because of his mercy, he will be delivered. He sees that man is sinful, again, and worthy of condemnation. And he sees that God is gracious and merciful and forgiving. And then in verse 2, he says, Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. He says, Be gracious to me. He understands that he is not deserving of deliverance. David knows he is not deserving of deliverance, but he depends upon, again, the grace of God. He said, For I am languishing, or lingering in a, the definition of that word is like lingering in an unpleasant situation. I'm languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. Now, this is what John and I were talking about prior to. John thinks, and I think it's somewhat true, John thinks that this is speaking of someone who is physically sick. Okay, but I'm not sure it's just simply being physically sick. I think it's being physically sick because of the spiritual turmoil that's going on. You know, laying on his bed, he's going to talk about, and you see it in the context. But the commentators talk about that. This is David talking about the fact that he was simply physically sick in this beginning part, but I don't know. You know, you do with it what you want. But he says, Be gracious to me, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. What does he mean by that? Is it spiritual sickness or spiritual distress or sickness? What is it? Perhaps one causing the other. I don't know. But I know every one of us have been in situations in our life where the worry and the anguish that was going on in us spiritually and emotionally has caused us to be sick, feel sick. It saps you of your strength. How many of you have been there? I've been there. And the time that I remember most was, and I've shared my testimony with you concerning our son, and the fact that he's not walking with the Lord and the struggles that he went through as a young person. And, I mean, you almost become ill dealing with those situations. And your bones are troubled. You're languishing. And you desire the Lord to simply heal you. Then in verse 3, My soul is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? He's saying again, my soul. Now see, he makes a switch. If he's talking about physical sickness in verse 2, simple physical sickness, he says, my soul is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? And he's simply asking, how long, Lord, till you're going to take care of this situation? How long? He knows that the Lord is able. He knows that the Lord is capable of taking care of the situation. He knows the Lord is sovereign in the things that come into his life. And he's saying, Lord, how long? How long are you going to wait? He's not asking, how long are my enemies going to keep coming? How long am I going to continue, you know, in this distress? He says, Lord, how long? He knows the Lord is able to deliver him. How long, O Lord? And he says, O Lord, turn, O Lord, deliver my life, verse 4. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. Again, we see the psalmist, he's not doing it and asking for it for his own sake or because he is worthy of it. He says, deliver my life, save me for the sake of your steadfast love. He knows the Lord loves him, and he knows the Lord's testimony, in a sense, perhaps, is at stake. For the sake of his steadfast love, for, you know, his testimony, if David were to be defeated, if his enemies were to have the victory, if sickness were to overcome him and kill him, the testimony would be damaged in the eyes of the world. At least this is David's thought. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. But he appeals to his love for his people. And the Psalms are full of phrases concerning God's steadfast love for his people. Then in verse 5, David is reasoning out the situation. He says, for in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? He's saying, if I die, if I am defeated, if my enemies overcome me, whether they're physical enemies or other armies or sickness, whatever it is, if they overcome me, who is going to give you praise? He says, there will be no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? In other words, if he's in the grave, how can he praise him? And that's David's reasoning. That's David's argument. That's his pleading before God. And then in verse 6, he continues, I am weary with my moanings every night. I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with weeping. And these are the verses that turn my thoughts from a physical, simply being physically sick, to some kind of distress, emotional distress, spiritual distress. You know, generally when we are sick, we don't lay on our bed and we weep. Maybe a kidney stone might do that, but I was pretty close. But there, you know, it just seems, the language seems to be speaking of a spiritual battle going on and you know, against the enemies of God. Okay. He says, I drench my couch with weeping. I flood my bed with tears. And then verse 7, I waste away because of grief. It grows weak because of all of my foes. Again, he's pointing to something outward. All of my foes, my eye wastes away. He is grieving. He is grieving. Verse 8, now he turns his eye to his enemy and he says, depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. See, we see the hopeful expectation coming out. He said, the Lord has heard. He says, turn away. Depart from me, all you who work evil, for the Lord has heard me. He's saying to them, if you know what's best for you, you better get. Because the Lord has heard my weeping. And then in verse 9, the Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. And we just see that hope revealed right there. And see, this is a song that he's singing. This is a... something that they sing together in corporate worship. And they're calling attention to the fact that they are distressed, that they are sinners, that they need God's grace, they need God's deliverance. But they have this hope, knowing that God is faithful and that He will answer their prayer. The Lord accepts my prayer. And then in verse 10, He pronounces, in a sense, judgment upon the enemies. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. Now, you remember in the last chapter of the book of Micah, it talked about things such as that. A day is coming when the enemies will be put to shame. So they had a confidence that the Lord would deal with it, that the Lord would deal with the issue. Yes, it was a psalm of repentance, but it was also a psalm of hope, because they knew that with the Lord, vengeance belonged to him, and that he would take care of the situation. Now, of course, easily, and we've already done it some, we can apply this to our situations. Whatever situation you find yourself in, as we read in the Psalms and we see the worship and we see the repentance and we see these things, we can so easily relate to these things. We, as the people of God, can pray, can sing this song right here, Psalm 6. We can do it. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. We know any situation as a child of God that we can go to him and pray this, asking that he would work. But I think the part of the process of this is recognizing the fact and doing it to the Lord. I am a sinner. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I think of 1 John 1. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we could just walk through. We are so dependent. And we've talked about times in our lives that we are troubled and that our beds are wet with tears and our couches are drenched with our weeping. Every one of us, if you've never gone through that, the time will come. But many of you have already, and you know what we're talking about. And we can waste away because of the grief. But we, because of the Lord's grace, can count on the fact that one day he will deliver us. That he will deliver us from all of our troubles. If not in this life, in the life to come. Because we're going to be in a place one day. And as I look out here, and of course I'm probably more gray-headed than anybody here, you know, that time is coming quickly. It's coming quickly. We all are facing eternity. But for those of us who know him, we know one day the enemy will be completely vanquished. He will be done away with. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more sorrow. And so we can sing this psalm as a psalm of repentance. We can sing this psalm as a psalm of hope. And we can sing this psalm as a psalm of deliverance. We can sing it as a psalm of praise. And so as you go to the psalms and you look at them and read them, and I think I encourage you to do this before, if you're not in a reading program or you're not in the middle of reading in a particular passage of Scripture and you just don't know where to read, go to the psalm. Go there. You don't have to know all the historical background to worship and to pray. Pray the Psalms, sing the Psalms, worship with the Psalms. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the power to change us. And Father, I pray that you would give us a love for your word, that we wouldn't be bored with your word, that we would see it as coming from the Almighty God, and that we can see it having power to change us and mold us into the image of Christ. And we can see it as an object of praise and worship. And we can see it as that which will feed us and grow us. Lord, we just pray that you would bless. In Jesus' name, amen.